The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we are back. Final hour of the week. Yes, that is correct. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Ford, who is on the line. Hello, Ford.
How's it hanging, Paul?
It is going great. Thank you for calling.
A little bit to the left for me. But anywho, I wanted to tell two or three things. One, I believe the Red Elephant came maybe from Rosenberg Luggage Company that used to supply the luggage.
I remember them.
For the Alabama football team, okay? That's one thing. Here's what I wanted to get to was – I learned a lot from someone in your past, and it was from the days in the 70s where it would say speed limit 25, horses 10. Can you imagine a place like that?
I can, yes.
Okay. I got stung by a wasp on my lip, and someone knew of a nurse who I believe was a school nurse. It may be Christian Brothers or MUS or something like that.
Right.
Anyway, she applied Top Job ammonia to the sting, and I'm not saying it quit the sting immediately, but it helped. And ever since then, I've always kept a little jar or a little medicine bottle of Top Job ammonia, and you would be amazed, people who've gotten stung by jellyfish or whatever, you apply the ammonia to it, and it doesn't cut all the pain, but it cuts a lot. So I just wanted to give your mom some props on teaching me that, and I've used it several times in the past, and I just want to tell you, she was a great lady. And I got to know her afterwards, and I just want to tell you how much I appreciated her knowledge and everything, and you were a very, very fortunate man to be raised in a household, single mother after a while and everything else. So I just want to give you props on that.
Well, Ford, thank you very much. I've said this in the past. My mother died, and as a writer, all writers want to write about things that are most personal. And it took me 7 years to be able to write the first word. But finally, 7 years after she passed away, I sat down one day, and it just happened, and I wrote a tribute to her for Mother's Day. And it remains the most important thing I've ever done. And I appreciate what he said, but we all feel similarly, or I hope we do, about our parents, and that brought back a lot of memories. Thank you very much. Dave is up next in Missouri. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Paul. Thanks again for taking my call. And about parents, my dad was in the Army, too, and he didn't talk about it much. But anyway, we're also dirt poor, and I understand the tuna story that you told the other day, that we had a lot of tuna fish.
Yeah.
And
I swear, Dave, I'm still thinking that I accidentally ate the cat food once instead of the tuna fish.
Well, you know, you might have.
Is there a way to really tell a difference?
Fish.
Well, I tell you what, it wasn't half bad, but for a treat, we would have fried Spam. Dad.
Well, listen, we were poor, Dave. We weren't that poor, though.
But you had fried Spam then.
No, we never got to that degree, but we were probably pretty close.
Okay, and on rivalries, I tell you what happened to me and Peggy.
Yeah.
We watched the Kansas City Royals beat the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, I remember that one.
Oh, my God. We were physically sick.
That was a big day. People don't understand that we talked about it earlier with our friend Benjamin Hockman, how big a rivalry that is. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Jimmy in South Carolina. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey there. We're doing great.
Well, that's great. Okay, I'm naturally in South Carolina, and I'm a Gamecock fan, but I'm all about the SEC. Let's get back to football. Anyway, okay. My grandson, he lives in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead. I heard you.
Yeah, anyway.
Knoxville, Tennessee.
He can't understand your feelings about Tennessee. He feels like that you don't like Tennessee. And if you can enlighten me, enlighten us, because he's listening right now.
Okay, well, I'll be happy to, Jimmy. And let me state the obvious. I was born in Memphis, and I went to school at Tennessee.
Well, so he knows all that.
But here's where I think this perception started. I spent most of my life in Alabama, covering Alabama.
Right. So I love Alabama too.
Yeah, but I think there are a few there are some people in the Tennessee world who struggle with that, particularly when that was a big rivalry. And I think now anything that I say that is not absolute in support of Tennessee. It's misinterpreted. I love Tennessee. It's my school, and nothing is ever going to change that. So I hope that helped to clear up that terrible misconception, right? Supposedly. Kevin is in Texas. Good afternoon. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, first of all, I just want to say thank you on the segment with Gene Stallings yesterday. I live in the same county. I know the man. Great man. And I wanted to ask you a question about the transfer portal and UT.
Okay, sure.
You know, with Caleb Ewers there now and Arch Manning coming in, do you feel that there's a good chance that Caleb's going to transfer next year because he's probably going to lose the job?
Well, yeah, I think that's easy to predict. I mean, I have rarely seen situations where one didn't go, and that's understandable, and I wouldn't blame him for that. But yeah, I think.
Right. Well,
I mean, we all saw Jalen Hurts nearly lead Alabama to a national championship, and then loses position.
Right, but my question is, okay, Caleb's probably got NIL deal.
Right.
Right now, and then if he decides to jump ship, you know, do they pay that money back?
I'm not a professor of contract law, but I will tell you, it depends on what's written in the contract. If it stipulates specifically that he is earning that money at UT, then, or is there an out clause? So I don't know, but it's a good question, and we'll get Professor Kingsfield to come in and teach torts as soon as we finish with contract law. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast,
and we are back. A couple of minutes remaining on a Friday afternoon. Let's continue with more of your calls. Larry is up next.
What's up, Paul Feinbaum?
Larry, what's up with you?
Yeah, how about it? Woo! Hey, buddy, man, what's going on, Jack?
How about it?
I popped me one bar. Feeling good.
I thought you weren't supposed to be drinking, Larry.
I cut back. I can't quit. Come on, man.
Come on,
I got,
man.
Let me tell you, I had to stand in line at that dang Dollar General waiting on these women to get these little discounts off her phone. And I saved 20 cents on this can of beans. Well, whoop de damn do, lady. Come on, I got to drink some beer.
How many did you buy?
About 12.
12?
12.
How many left?
Well, I get about 7 right now, but it'll get better. It'll get better.
So you've had 5 beers in what time period?
About 45 minutes, I guess. I had the first 5 pretty quick because that lady about drive my nerves to the end, man. I mean, it reminded me.
Why don't you have more patience and tolerance for women, Larry?
Well, it wasn't a woman as much as her. What she's saving, standing there, saving 20 or 30 cents on a can of damn beans or something.
Well, Larry, I don't know how to break it to you, but we're in a recession right now.
It ain't bothering me. I didn't have no money for the recession.
I know the president won't acknowledge that, but I'm going ahead and telling you it's a recession.
When you're in a recession,
Larry, you have to pinch pennies, and that's how I was brought up. We try to save.
You go and Tubberhead is gonna get Manchin to help. On the NIL, you kidding me? That guy's spending how many trillions of dollars putting us even deeper in recession? Them stupid demos, man. What's going on, Paul? You're talking about a recession here, Manchin and Tuberville. Joe Manchin.
Yeah, Joe Manchin, not Joe. Like Manchin. It's not like I live in a mansion. It's Manchin with an N.
Manchin, that's what I said.
C-I-N, not Manchon.
I don't know. Manchin. Is that right? That's a happy thing.
I have no idea. I don't know Joe Manchin very well.
I know, but he's going to put us in a deeper recession.
By the way, what did you call Tuberville? Tubberhead?
Tubberhead.
Hold on a second. And I don't care whether you like Tuberville as a senator or not, but I know why you don't like Tuberville.
I just, because he's bum, man.
No, he beat your team 6 years in a row, and he would raise a finger every year. Remember, what was the motto at Auburn? You know, fear the thumb or something?
He needed the thumb.
Yeah, because, I mean, when he won the 6th time, the thumb came up from the next. I mean, Tuberville once joked, he said, pretty soon I'm gonna have to go to my toes if Mike Shula's still the coach.
I tell you what, he could have stuck that thumb and it'd been bound. I tell you that.
That's hilarious.
You know, I mean, I'm serious, Paul Fine, but I do not like that guy. Big old nose, big ass ears. He's got ears bigger than yours, man.
Well, that's saying something. That means they have to scratch my name out of the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, I know one thing. I want Timmy B. Corndog back, man. Come on, get him back on there. I like slapping him around. He's easy.
You like the corndog, huh?
Yeah, I like Jeff. Jeff's pretty good, ain't he? You like Jeff? You act like you don't, man. You there,
Larry? I have to be here. I'm not. I can't just be like you and say, you know what? I've had enough of this show. I'm going to open up my 10th beer of the night. I'm committed here every day.
Yeah, you're committed. You need to be committed to a sane asylum.
Oh my goodness! Now you're getting personal, Larry. Now you're getting into my private medical records, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, Larry, seriously, and I'm not making fun of mental illness, but would you be surprised if they committed me one day? I think it would be natural.
No.
And they're going to go, Mr. Feinbaum, why do you feel like you need to be committed? And you know what my answer would be? Because I had to deal with goobers like you every day.
Woo! That's fun, man. I'd love to put you in another house. And, oh, boy, I would take credit for it. I get on the radio.
You would really be proud to put me in an asylum.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
I put Paul Feinbaum in the crazy house. Ooh,
you know, hey, Larry, you know what the problem is going to be if they commit me, don't you?
Probably I'll still be
doing the same show with the people that live there. It just won't be on the radio.
Oh, yeah, that almost be like home on it.
They'll
like
have me come down to the dining room every night and just say, "Okay, take some calls, Mr. Feinbaum." you the guy with the Salisbury steak in up your nose. You're next.
You have all them nut jobs. You got two nuts working with you now.
I think I got my next job.
Working with you.
I've been looking for a career change. I just found it.
Yeah, you got two nut jobs with you right there looking at you.
Well, you're right.
They about crazy as loons. They are. They're nut jobs, both of them.
Okay, Larry. We can't have that anymore. Hey, Larry, thanks for the call. You continue with your beers. Eddie is up next in Georgia. Eddie, go right
hey,
ahead.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Big guy, you hear me?
I sure can, yes.
How you doing?
We're doing great.
Hey, good deal, man. Look, just a call on Jeff, man. He keep calling from Ohio. All this Big Ten talk. Tell him come down here and play these SEC teams. I'm talking about Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky.
Well, Eddie, the last time Ohio State played an SEC team, they lost by 28 points.
Okay, well, what's the score of the last time you played Georgia?
Well, I don't know if they played Georgia, but they played Alabama a year and a half ago and got wiped all over the stadium.
Okay, well, do your search on the last time they played Georgia.
I don't remember Ohio State playing Georgia. Maybe in a bowl game 1 year?
Look it up, Paul. I love your show, buddy. But tell him to call the Big Ten Network. We in the SEC, man.
You know, Eddie, that's the problem. The Big Ten won't – I don't think they trust their callers to call in a show like this.
Right. Tell them,
Eddie, I don't want to – I bet we have more Big Ten fans watching us right now than have watched the Big Ten Network this week.
Hey, they don't stand a chance with us, Paul.
By the way, I think it was what year was that? 93, Ohio State. Who won the game? Yeah, Georgia beat Ohio State in 1993. That's nearly 30 years ago, or 40 years. Is that 30 years ago?
Right. Now, do we still have a home and away at the end of the 2000s? Don't we still got a game with them at the end of the century?
I'll check on that. You're right. Hey, thanks for the call. We're heading to a break. We have a lot to do. Remaining 30 minutes. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And we're back here, final 30 minutes of the afternoon, and let's check in with Berner in Florida. Hello, Berner.
Hi, Mr. Paul. Once again, thank you so much for your time, bud.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Larry sounds like some of my buddies down, or my guy down the dirt road. He said he's 83 years old. He said that he drinks liquor and beer and smokes 4 packs a day, and he said, "Well, I'm gonna die happy."
there's a lot of stories like that, and I'll tell you what. Speaking of that, my grandmother had emphysema, and she was bad. I mean, this is a long time ago, obviously, because she died when I was 10 years old, but.
Wow.
She was in, remember those oxygen tents at the hospital? She was in an oxygen tent. It was a Catholic hospital run by sisters, and they caught her smoking a cigarette in the oxygen tent. She could have blown up the whole hospital, couldn't she?
And they
came in and took the cigarette away from her, and she was pretty upset about it, but I think for the safety of the hospital, it was probably a cool move.
Well,
I wonder now you're starting to figure out where I got all this from. Yeah.
Well, she was happy, wasn't she?
She was, she was my mom's mom, and she nobody was going to tell her what to do, just like my own mother.
Hey, the last time we talked about the Marion Military Institute
right.
When I was up there in 1976, Mr. Paul. I was 11 years old, and you talked, and my wife looked it up, and there was an issue right there to where I didn't know
that
was a deal, but she looked it up. And anyway, in that time right there, when did that close? Can you tell me that?
Well, I guess you're referring to being at the institute or the Stabler camp.
Well, the Stabler camp.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Craig Stevenson did this article about a year ago for AL.com, and I would encourage people to look it up if you're interested. One of my first assignments at the newspaper in 1980 was to go down and cover the Stabler football camp. And I got there, and Stabler had a bunch of his old buddies. He was with the Raiders at the time, and they were all in there drinking beer, and there was women everywhere. And I just wrote this article about spending a night with Stabler hanging around. And once it came out 2 days, I think it was 3 days later on the front page of the newspaper that they were at a military institute and all these guys had women and beers and, the camp shut down. I mean, everybody, there was a line from Marion to Selma of parents coming to get their kids, and Stabler did threaten to kill me. And then threatened to sue us, and we were hoping he would, frankly, just to be able to reveal what really happened. But fortunately, cooler heads prevailed, and we laughed about it years later. Joe is up next. Good afternoon.
Roll down road, Paul Feinbaum. How's it going, my brother?
Handsome Joe, what is going on with you?
Well, me and my ex-brother-in-law, he's a good guy. We've been out riding around and just seeing things, but anyway, I've been listening to the show every night, and so Hey, I'm sorry I ain't been able to call in, but I'm just getting home late each evening. And it's just been one of those hectic weeks. But I do want to say this. There's been a lot of talk about Nick Saban, you know, saying that this was a rebuilding year for Alabama.
Right.
But, Paul, last summer, when we lost three players that was in the Heisman vote, and all these players, we were saying last summer this was going to be a rebuilding year. And what Alabama done this past year was actually amazing to me, because we've never had lost that many players and still went as far as we did. So this ain't something that Nick Saban, he's just hearing.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting
fans.
You said that, and I would agree. Everything you said is accurate, but you do remember about this time last year, don't you, when the preseason polls came out?
Right, yep.
Yeah, do you remember who was number one?
Well, Alabama.
Yeah. I just looked it up. Hold on just a second here. This is the preseason top 25. About a year ago this week, it came out. Alabama had 47 first-place votes, followed by Oklahoma with 6, Clemson with 6, and Ohio State with 1. And that was a rebuilding year? Is that what you're trying to convince the audience of?
Well, I mean, I can't hit what people – I mean, people like Alabama, I guess the reason they put them there. I wouldn't have put Alabama to start at number one just because we won the national title the year before.
No. That's not exactly what happened. People vote on the preseason poll based on the talent. And everybody in America knew that Bryce Young was equal or better to Mac Jones. Alabama also got a pickup from Ohio State to replace all that talent there. No, I would agree with you. It was the talent was a little bit different, but the voting public that follow college football had Alabama number one. And so, yeah, technically you can say it was rebuilding, but when you start the season number one, when you say it's rebuilding, the rest of the country is going to chortle, okay?
Right. Well, I can't really go by the rest of the country, but after we lost what we did after that undefeated national title team, I mean, Alabama fans ourselves were saying that this is going to be, you know, we didn't even know if we'd win the SEC.
Joe, I would recommend that you keep trying to convince yourself of that all weekend long to help get over the fact that Georgia beat you guys in the championship. At a time for this segment. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are joined by one of the legends in college football history, former Alabama coach Gene Stallings, who, of course, led Alabama in 1992 to a national championship and left a legacy and an indelible print on that program that is still felt today. Coach Stallings, it's such a pleasure to have you on. We've all been concerned about your health, and we hope you're doing okay. Good afternoon.
Paul, I really appreciate you calling. It's good to talk to you. Always love talking to you. I was concerned about Eli. Somebody told me that Eli was sick, Eli Gold, and something happened to him.
Yeah.
Thought you may even know about that.
Yeah, I am concerned, Coach, and we're trying to get a little more information. They announced yesterday that he would not begin the season, and really nothing else was offered, and there is a lot of concern. So yeah, if I can pick up anything else, I'll call you immediately. But I was hoping you could help us, because I know how close you two have been over these many, many years.
Well, he's a pro just like you're a pro. Every time I've been on his show, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Same thing said about you, Paul, and it's a joy to be on your show.
Thank you. Well, Coach, let me ask. I read a couple of weeks ago that you had had, I never want to say a major setback, because you're a tough guy, but how are you doing right now?
You know, I'm doing fine. I've been to town doing some stuff, and I just had a little stroke, no step for a stepper. And I guess there's no such thing as a minor stroke, but I think that's probably what I had. I've had a couple of them. I'm doing as well as I can, Paul. I really am.
Well, Coach, I mean, it's hard for any of us who have known you these many, many years, and many have known you a little bit longer, to think of you being sick. You're one of the healthiest looking people I've ever seen, and I know you're still out there working, doing things on your ranch, because that's what you love to do, isn't it?
That's absolutely right. And in fact, I'm out doing some stuff right now. I'll tell you the truth, I had to come in and be where it was a little quieter, but it's going to be on your show. Out in the country, you don't always get good reception. But anyway, so I came to the house where I could talk to you good.
Coach, I mean, I know it's always somewhat frowned upon to talk about people's age, but you're certainly past your mid-80s, and everyone deals with it at different ages, and I guess it comes up because I always felt like you could have coached a lot longer, and you know, people make a big deal about, you know, Saban being 70 and Bobby Bowden coaching until his late 70s and Paterno even longer. How does it affect a coach when you start reaching various milestones?
First of all, I'm 86, and I thoroughly enjoyed my time at Alabama. I just felt like it was somebody else's chance to coach at Alabama. Physically, I could have done the job. You know, you tire out a little quicker than you used to, but other than that, I'm fine. I could still coach, whether or not I could be on the field during practice for all the time that I did. That would be a little hard for me. I could handle the games all right.
I bet you could. Well, Coach, I have to ask you, because we haven't talked to you in a while, but so much is happening in college sports, and you have been one that has always been true to your beliefs and to the infrastructure and principles of the way this game was developed. What are your thoughts on where we are right now with NIL and the exploding expansion? Just some overall thoughts on the game of college football.
Well, you know, the thing that you used to be put on probation for, now it's legal. And you can just buy a player. I'm really opposed to that. Somewhere along the line, we got to realize you go to college for an education. Education is never mentioned. It's whether or not he's going to be transferring from this school to that one, and how much eligibility he's going to lose. What about the hours he's going to lose? But somewhere along the line, we still got to realize we go to college, get an education, not play football.
But, Coach, now that we are in this new era, and it's about a year and 2 months old, a year and 1 month old, there doesn't seem to be any putting it back. We had Tommy Tuberville on yesterday, who, as you know, is now a United States senator, and they're working on it. But it seems like the ship has already sailed, hasn't it?
Well, we don't need the Congress to get involved in college football. That's a personal opinion. I know Tommy, and I know him well, and he's going to do a good job as a senator. But this is an athletic director's thing that they've got to settle on and do what's best for not only their school, but what's best for college football. And the athletic directors can do that better than anybody.
Coach, as somebody who was a coach at a number of places, from Texas A&M, obviously, we know your Alabama history very well. If you had a player making a couple of million dollars a year, I realize times are different, but you could do the math and it's still a lot of money, whatever it was when you were the coach. What kind of strains does that put on you and your staff in trying to communicate with that player?
Extremely hard. I mean, It's not impossible, but it's next to impossible. I will say this. I'm glad that I'm not coaching in this day and time where you got to deal with all the things that they have to deal with. But you go talk about you're going to give a player $2 million. How are you going to tell him not to do that? And yet you know it's not in the best interest of the football team for somebody to be generating all that money and the rest of them not. But I would be opposed to paying the player just like I was back when I was coaching.
We're talking to Coach Gene Stallings, and you know we talk so much often about you know your role at Alabama. I think we probably don't give enough credit to your role as a regent or trustee at Texas A&M. And I'll say it, but you played a big role in helping bring Texas A&M to the Southeastern Conference. And I know how dear that school is to you as well. And it's a friend of mine sent me some pictures of some of the new development out there. And it's mind blowing what's happening in College Station.
It really is. And the good decision for Alabama to go into the SEC, A&M to go into the SEC, and it's good for college football and it's good for everybody. But along with all those pluses, there's somewhere along the line there got to be some minuses. And when you go to talking about buying a player, you know, I'm still opposed to that, but somewhere along the line when it's legal and everybody else is doing it, somewhere along the line you've got to get the player and you've got to do what your opposition is doing.
Coach Stallings, so many people in recent months, almost all the major coaches have talked about how this is not a sustainable model. I know how you feel, but what do you think? Where do you think the disconnect is going to come, and how is it going to affect the game moving forward, long past when you and I are talking together about college football?
Well, it's a whole lot easier to go forward than it is to go backwards. I agree with you. How are you going to stop it? Once that sled gets rolling, it's awfully hard to stop it. Somewhere along the line, we got to realize that you go to college for an education. You don't go to college to play football. And maybe we're going to have to pay the player if he makes all A's or something like that. But somewhere along the line, we got to realize as students of the game, as coaches and athletic directors, the game is still for the player. I understand that. But somewhere along the line, we've got to use good judgment.
Coach, before you go, I want to talk about maybe the favorite subject I've ever had discussions with you about, and that's your son, Johnny, who we lost a couple of years ago. It's hard to think about you without thinking about him and the indelible impression and legacy that he made. And I know you continue to work in the Tuscaloosa community and many other places trying to raise awareness and especially money in his honor.
Oh, my life wouldn't have been nearly as rich if it wasn't for the fact that I had the privilege of helping raise a child that had special needs. Johnny loved football. He knew all the players. He knew all the coaches. Even in professional football, he knew Coach Landry. And in fact, one of the stories I enjoy telling when he's going to meet Coach Landry, I was telling him how to do it. I said, Johnny, we're going to go in Coach Jason Room and meet Coach Landry, and he'll say, glad to meet you, Coach Landry. And when he saw Coach Landry, the first thing he said was, hi, Tom. So anyway.
That's so great.
It's a great story of mine, but, yeah, my life wouldn't have been nearly as rich. I didn't think so when he was first born. I was just devastated. But the thing that I felt like was the worst thing that ever happened to me turned out to be the best. He loved the player. He knew every player's name. You can't imagine how many things, not only in the Alabama area, but is named after him, stadiums and football fields and everything else. So he has really made his little mark in life.
Coach, I mean, nobody knows what's ahead, but I don't think there will ever be a moment in my career or anybody's career that I know that will be more special than you. The shot of you being carried off the field in New Orleans after winning the national championship against Miami and the smile on Johnny's face. I know you've seen it since then, but you were a little busy at the time. That is something that will become, that has always been one of the greatest parts of Alabama history. And that's saying a great deal considering the coach you played for in college and worked under later on and in many ways was your mentor. And of course, I'm talking about Paul Bryant.
Right. Well, we were in a little room together, just the two of us, right after that game. And it was a big game. I understand that. But Johnny looked at me and he said, "Good job, Pop."
That's great.
That's all he said about winning that game. Good job, Pop.
Well,
just like I was the guy that won it.
Yeah, well, you know, Coach, you played a pretty big role, and nobody will ever forget that. And we will hopefully have many more of these conversations. Stay well, and we really appreciate you making time for us.
Paul, I remember when you came to College Station. That was a big deal. Lots of people turned out to hear you down in College Station, and I was one of them. And they really have an appreciation for you, not only in the Southeastern Conference, but at A&M as well as Alabama. We appreciate what all you've done for college football.
Coach, you be well, and I hope to see you soon. Take care of yourself, and best to all your family.
Les, it's always a joy to be on your show. You all are anytime. I'm never too busy to be on Paul Feinbaum's show.
Thank you very much. The absolute legend, Gene Stallings, joining us from his ranch in Texas. We made it to the end of the week. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We will see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.